According to my Mickey Mouse, it's about time to start. So I want to thank you all for being here and welcome you to Calvary this morning. Pray that you'll just continue to think about each other, lift up each other in prayer, and our nation and our president and all these kind of things. Those are our responsibilities to do as born-again believers. And so just want to thank you also for your prayers and your considerations, your patience with me and my family. And I'm sure most of you know that Todd is scheduled tomorrow for surgery on his back again at 7:30. And so we're hoping that that will go well and that'll start him back out again on the therapy and all the things that he's done a couple, three times now over and over again. But he is, I've never seen him so blah in these past weeks. He's just, so he's just really down in the dumps. And his mother, she's not doing anything wrong, but, you know, she comes and, "Hey, did you read this?" You know, and Todd says, "Yes, I have, and I've read the other one you gave me the day before," and, you know. So she's just trying to encourage him, of course. But so remember her. She's actually traveling right now to try to get down there so that she can see him before surgery tomorrow. They have, you know, visiting hours and things like that. They've been pretty good about allowing us to visit, like her and I at the same time, which they don't necessarily have to do. But somebody was visiting yesterday, and they 20 minutes. That's all you got. And so anyway, she's trying to get down there before visiting hours is over so that she can visit a little bit before tomorrow. They're going to take him about 5 o'clock in the morning back to University Hospital in Cincinnati. So remember him as you get up in the morning or go to bed this evening. Let's open with prayer. Father God, we thank you for your love and your mercy in our lives. Father, I thank you that you actually make your will clear to us. It's that we're so caught up in doing all kinds of things, so busy doing things, that we don't have time. We've got all the time in the world to do what we're supposed to do. Help us to recognize those things. And feast upon your word. Pray for each other. Never be outside your will, which of course for us, as the old sin nature is not gone. It's a struggle. But Lord, we pray, Father, you have victory in our lives, that we can be the kind of people you would have us to be in this world that it so desperately needs another kind of voice speaking truth and love and mercy. So be with us this morning as we're here today in your house. We are your people. We want to praise you and thank you for all you do. Now we ask your Holy Spirit to just take over, speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, for these things. I ask in that mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm from Pakistan, and due to the persecution, I was forced to move to Canada. I didn't know a single person in Vancouver, but praise the Lord, it looks like a mini Punjab. In Metro Vancouver area, we have over 300,000 South Asians, and God put in my heart that there is a need to plant a church over there. We start connecting with people. We are having gospel presentations among Hindus, among Sikhs, and Hindus have many thousands and millions of visible gods. And I've been questioned many times, "Show me your God." Many are coming in our church for prayer, and the prayer is the very basic or first step. We are connecting with South Asians. They are seeing God at work, and after practicing 50 years, 60 years with the other religions they were in, people are giving their lives and receiving Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Because of your givings, God is the one who is showing through His Holy Spirit in a miraculous way. He is touching their lives. It's not easy, but God is doing a great things here in Canada in this area.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the Great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the Great I Am. Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs I can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. We are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy. blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and bound me with His redeeming blood. He loved me.
Amen. Thank you, guys. If you have your Bible, turn over to 1 Peter this morning, chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 8 through 15 in just a second. And don't close it. These are very important verses this morning. But as you're turning there, I was remembering, especially from our class this morning in Sunday school, about these divine appointments that we have, and many times we just kind of don't even recognize them, but God's working. And when I was in Korea, my wife, I got saved in Korea, and so my wife had sent me a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And, you know, big, beautiful Bible, leather bound, all that kind of stuff. She had my name right on the bottom put in, you know, how they stamp it in there and all those kind of things. So I was just, boy, you know, what a treasure this is. And, of course, we were doing things, whatever, and I don't remember exactly how it happened, but we went by the snack bar and got something to eat, probably after chapel or something like that on Sunday. And we got to talking, doing whatever like that. We all got up and left and stuff like that. And it was probably, I don't know, the next day that I thought, hey, where's my Bible? And I had left it at the snack bar. And so I thought, well, you know, so I went down there and I asked some of the people there, I said, did anybody find a Bible? And as I was thinking about that, I thought, oh, I don't know if these people even know what a Bible is. You know, that's a horrible thought, but nevertheless. And so I told them, you know, it was a book, and it had a leather bound, and it had my name on it. And so, you know, could you watch for that? I'd like to have it back. So anyway, in the next couple of days, nothing ever turned up or anything like that. And I got to thinking, you know, I hope that whoever finds that Bible will read it at very least. You know, if you're going to steal my Bible, read it. You know, isn't that a poor attitude? But that's where I'm at most of the time. I just hope that guy, whoever it is, will read that Bible. And so I was thinking about that, and I was just probably every day, you know, something along that line, you know. Then one day, I got to thinking, well, maybe I ought to pray that whoever found my Bible would actually read it. And whoever found my Bible in reading that might come to know Christ. And so I began to pray that way for 2 or 3 days. And you know how it's an amazing thing? You just kind of get lighter, you know. Everything's not so gloom and doom. And so I'm flip-flopping around, and we go do probably something similar. We went to the snack bar, and we sat down at the table, we're eating, and this guy comes up, and he says to us, he says, are you Christians? And we said, yes. He said, yes. He says, is there a Michael D. Harris here? And then he called somebody over, and they brought me my Bible. And I thought to myself, isn't that the way of it? God can handle stuff if we'll let him. But most of the time, we want to take it in our own hands and want to do something about it. And so I had that same experience this week a little bit. And I did not turn to 1 Peter to find this chapter. I had been thinking about various and certain things, and I thought, we just need a hell's fire brimstone sermon this Sunday. I think we're just going to scorch the seats so bad, nobody will be able to sit down for a week. Now, isn't that a marvelous way to think about things? No, it isn't, is it, Joy? But that's what I was thinking. So somehow or another, as God would do it, I opened my Bible, and this is the one that Judy gave me. She replaces all my Bibles that I wear out, beat up, and everything. And so it's hard to find stuff with my fingers because everything's not all messed up like my old Bible. So it falls open to this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 8. That's where my eyes went to. If you obviously, I don't know how your Bible's laid out, but I could have started back in the first verse. What it talks about, likewise ye wives, but no, my eyes goes to verse 8. And here's what those scriptures say. It says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of the other. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be empathetic. Be courteous. Oh, gee, I don't want to be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil. That's what I was kind of wanting to render some evil for evil here. Or railing for railing. But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are also thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that he might speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Lord, be with us this morning as we're drawn here. We have come together to worship you. We have come, Lord, that we need a fresh touch from you this morning. We need you to minister to us. We need you to touch our lives and heal us. We're broken. We need a freshness, Lord, with you today. So I pray, Father, that you'll be doing that with us as we look at your word this morning. Let your word have its perfect will in our hearts. It might penetrate us and become part of who we are, as it should always. So, Lord, I just ask your blessing on all that are here this morning, those who are listening via the internet, those that maybe might be listening in different places, like Alaska a couple of months ago. A young man told me he was listening in Alaska. So I pray, Father, that you will just do your perfect will this morning in our lives. And I thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, trying to be honest with you a little bit today, this year has really been just difficult, hasn't it? Maybe not for you, but it has been for me. This COVID-19 thing, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. And of course, it's a worldwide thing. It's a plague. And it brings suffering and hardship to millions and millions of people have, and millions have died throughout the world. And it has touched our church here in many, many ways. And I don't, you know, we think about John Mann, we think about Otis, who had contracted it and actually died from it. But it was disruptive in all kinds of ways. It's disruptive in fellowship, disruptive in our families. That my heart is heavy and burdened also for our nation. It's violence, it seems to be everywhere. Violent riots that are happening throughout our cities. They're called protests, but I don't know how you call that a protest. That's just a violent riot. Shootings. We had a shooting right down here in Indianapolis just the other day. 8 people who were killed. And, of course, then the government turns it on himself and kills himself. Tragic, isn't it? We have political leaders who don't seem to have any common sense whatsoever. Do you ever think about that? If you're sitting there watching the news or something on television and you're talking back to the television, watch out. You've crossed the line. You know, the television people cannot hear you hollering at you. Hey! You've crossed the line there. Yes, the world seems to be just on fire, doesn't it? Just everywhere. And my wife and I, of course, were talking about things in the hospital, and we were sitting there and we'd watch something on the news or something like that. And we had said it before, but my wife said, you know, it's just crazy. People are stark, raving mad. And I think so. And I thought to myself, as I was driving back the other day, well, what's the answer to a world that's on fire? What's the answer to a world that's crazy, stark, raving mad? Well, start percolating on that. And from 1 Peter, I drew some analogies here. Mark chapter 3 tells us of kind of a strange encounter that the Lord Jesus had. In Mark chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "And when Jesus, his friends, his family, heard of it, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is beside himself." Who's the he there? Jesus. Well, I thought, wow. So I thought, I'll do a little research on that a little bit. So I turned here and there and yonder, and I have an 8-way Bible, and I looked at J.B. Phillips because he sometimes uses different words and things like that. And he translated that little passage there. People were saying that he must be mad. I thought, wow. And then I thought, well, I get some kind of other contemporary version. 1997, I think, is when it came out. It says, when Jesus, his family, his friends, heard what he was doing. What was he doing? Ministering. When they'd heard about the ministry of Jesus, they thought he was crazy. And they went to get him under control. Yeah. Well, that's all well-meaning, isn't it? Jesus is ministering, and that's what his friends thought. That's the folks that kind of loved him, kind of thought, boy, this guy's gone off the deep end. We need to get him back over here, put him back on the reservation somewhat. Now, his enemies, of course, as you well know, thought something totally different. Over in Matthew 9, it says that they brought a man to Jesus who was possessed of a devil. And in verse 33, it says, "And when the devil was cast out," Jesus cast out the devil, and the reaction from the crowd was they marveled at this. Then the next verse said, "But the Pharisees said, he casts out devils through the prince of devils." So, you know, you have two totally different things. They marveled, or, well, he's just of the devil. That's what he's of. Well, his family and friends, those that loved him, thought, we've got to go over there and help him. He's gone off the reservation. He's not acting like we normally think a rabbi should act. He's not saying the things that the typical teachers are saying. He's doing all kinds of things. Some of them are wonderful and marvelous, and some of them are so different. They never heard it on that wise before when Jesus was teaching something. They never heard it that way. They were astonished at his teaching. They never heard it that way. Yet there were those who took the exact opposite approach. Let me just try to say this. Nothing about the Lord Jesus conforms to the things of this world. Nothing. Not his life, not his birth, not his teaching, not what he did, not the miracles, not anything he did conforms to the world. So what did Jesus teach? Well, over in Matthew 23, it says Jesus says to be great in the kingdom of God. Okay, we want to be useful to the Lord. We want to serve him and have that well done, good and faithful servant told to us. Well, here's what it said. Jesus said to be great in the kingdom. The greatest among you must be your what? Servant. What's he been eating? The great guys are the guys who live in the big houses. The great guys are the guys that have, you know, private Learjets. The great guys are the guys who meet with presidents and all kinds of things. They zip zapping around. That's great. Jesus said, no. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to be a servant of all. Man, that's radically different, isn't it? Over in Matthew 5:44, it says, Jesus says, love your enemies. Have you ever heard that verse? I bet you have. Bless them that curse you. I usually don't do that. I want to add a curse upon a curse there. Do good to them that hate you. I'm thinking, Lord, you know, make their car have four flat tires and the battery blow up. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That is not the way the world has taught me for many, many years. Now, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, 40-some plus years, 50 mostly. But I'm just now starting to get it that we're supposed to be different. We got to have a different ethic. We have to have a different psyche. We have to have different goals. We have to be different people. Jesus said, all those kind of things, pray for them, that you may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun, God makes the sun to rise on evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Lord, I got a hit for you. Let's just withhold the rain from all the evil people. We'll just let their corn and soybeans just burn up this summer. And let's do that for about 5 years in a row. And the guy's farm that right next to them, that family, those people over there, there's right next to them, that farm, their field comes up to this field, burn that one up and multiply that one. That'll get attention. That's not what it says to do, though, is it? And that's not what God does. You know, there's nobody in the whole world ever going to stand before God Almighty and put their finger in his face and say, you did not treat me fairly. You had your favorites and I wasn't one. That's not going to work. It's not going to work. Well, over in Matthew 18:21, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, how often so my brother sin against me, and I forgive him. Remember, what did Peter say? Seven times? Don't you think he was thinking, I'm going to have to be magnanimous here. So, seven times. But what did Jesus say? Not seven times. Seven times 70. Nobody there who heard Peter's question, nobody there who heard Jesus' response said, yeah, I thought that's the way it should be. Uh-uh. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And you ought to be glad about it because he didn't punish you because you're a sinner, but he sent Jesus to die for you because he loves you. That's a whole radically different thing, isn't it? what the Lord Jesus did in his ministry, in his teachings, in his actions, was show a whole contrast to the kingdom of God and the ways of the world. Everything he did. Over in Luke chapter 4, verse 36, it said the people were astonished at his teachings. And on, of course, that very cruel cross of the Lord Jesus, he prayed, what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine that statement? We've read it, and we're familiar with it, and we kind of handle it. Now. They beat him to a pulp. Within an inch of his life, they mocked him. They spat upon him. They humiliated him in every way possible. And then they sent him to that cruel cross. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's not the world standards there. Never heard like that before. Now listen, I'm kind of ashamed to say, but I've said it. Normally I don't react that way. I don't do that well. Somebody hits me, I want to hit them back. Yet the scripture tells us, over Philippians, for example, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what? No reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, the old song says. That wasn't his purpose. That wasn't his mission. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. Of course he has. That's justified. But at the name of Jesus, what's going to happen? Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yes. Yes. Jesus said in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, we kind of think that's important. Jesus said later in John 15, he said, you are my friends if you do so, whatever I've commanded you. We want to be friends. We want to be where God would have us to be. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We acknowledge and see in our mind's eyes and our heart's heart that these are the things that really are important. The Holy Spirit enlightens us enough to grasp those principles, and we say, yes, that's true. But dare I say it? Before I do that, though, I passed out a couple of little notes or whatever. So I've got some guys who are going to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Dennis, will you do the first one? Thank you, sir. We read that a minute ago, but I want you to reinforce that. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Okay? Who's got number two? Al. Yeah.
Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessings, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing.
Yeah, don't return evil for evil, don't insult or insult, but be a blessing. Isn't that amazing? Who's got number three? Oh, Jim. I'm sorry, Jim. I didn't see your hand.
So let him who wants to enjoy life see through the days, good, whether apparent or not. Keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from vile treachery and deceit. Let him turn away from wickedness and shame, and let him do right. Let him search for peace, harmony, undisturbance from fears, agitating passions, and all confidence.
Isn't that a goal? Wow, that's way up there, isn't it? Well, I dare say, you know what the answer is to the world that we're living in? It's on fire. It's crazier than a loon. But you know what the answer is? The answer is for us to be like Jesus. Crazy like Jesus. Be like him. Let me try to build that case just a tad more. Think back again to the crucifixion. Jesus was crucified. It was public torture, intentional brutality. Rome was saying, basically, don't mess with us. We're going to put you on the cross like this. We're not just going to kill you. We're going to make an example. Everybody that goes by is going to go, oh, my. And they're basically saying, don't mess with us. It was a message that Rome was sending, that the world always sends. The world always sends that message, comply with what we're doing and what we're saying, or we're going to punish you severely. Now, if you're a rational person, which I think you are, a friend of Jesus, a disciple, then that makes us sometimes in a place of danger, doesn't it? Because we're going against the flow. Everybody's going this way. Going against the flow. And as we saw last week, Peter, the rock, Luke 22 said, and it's found in the Gospels, that when they arrested Jesus, they asked Peter, aren't you one of his disciples? Hey, aren't you with a gal? And what did he say? Mm-mm. Matter of fact, he said, I never knew him. That's the pressure that the world brings down on us. That somebody like Peter, who had strength and who had this marvelous receptivity of the Holy Spirit, when put under that pressure, he said, no, not me. Now, it's amazing. Let me just ask you a little question. Who was at the cross with Jesus? Was Peter? Where were they at? They were someplace else in the upper room or something, hiding. Was James? No. Was John? Was Andrew? Was Bartholomew? Was Thomas? Was Judas? No, none of those guys were there. But there was somebody there besides Mary, the mother of Jesus. And who was that other somebody? That other Mary? That other Mary was Mary Magdalene. And the scripture tells us, go back and read those kind of things. The scripture tells us that before she came to Christ, you probably wouldn't have wanted associated with her. She had so much going on, so much baggage, so much stuff. But there she was. There she was. You know that old song says, you know, were you there when they crucified my Lord? And I guess the song, when we sing that, I guess we're supposed to say, boy, if I would have been there, I'd have been there. Is that what it's supposed to say? I don't know. Is that what it, Joey, is that not it? I don't know. Something like that. Well, listen, Peter, James, and John, those guys weren't there. What makes you think you'd be there? You'd be scared too. But Mary Magdalene was there. She could say, me, I was there. Well, listen, a wise person once said, we all face and are faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Wow, yeah. Doesn't the book say over Jeremiah? Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Is that scripture? I think it is. I tried to quote it exactly. That's telling us who our God is. Nothing is impossible. Can God work in a world like we're in? Of course he can. Can God work in a pandemic like we're in? Of course he can. Can God work with a Congress and a Senate and a president and all these officials? Yes, he can. He can. He can do it. And that's the position that we must take, and that's the position we must stand in. We're not them. We're representatives of him. What comes out of our mouth, what comes through our actions, they ought to be different. They ought to be different. Yes, this world is really messed up. It's been messed up before in even greater ways than this. It's crazy out there. What this world needs is for us be like Jesus. That's what we need. We don't need to curse these people. We don't need to throw rocks at these people. We don't need, you know, to put a bomb under their car or anything like that. We don't need to get, I have a 270 at home, get the 270 out with a variable 3.9 scope and shoot somebody. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be like Jesus. And in being like Jesus, we will show a picture to the world that's startling. Because it's startling to us. They'd never expect it. Willing to be Christ's representatives in a world like ours and in a world of our everydayness. He calls us to be that. Who's got verse number 4 there? Verse 15, actually. Elsie, read that out loud and clear, brother. So in time like these, we're supposed to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Not supposed to holler at the TV set. And we're to be ready, always ready to give an answer to the hope that's within us. Not in a surly, angry fashion, but with meekness and in the fear of the Lord. I don't know about you. That's a hard assignment, is it not? To be like Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let the renewing of your mind. We got to get another mindset and minister to the world around us. That's what the world needs. Father God, help us to have your heart and your mind. Help us to be thinking thoughts after you. Not thoughts of retaliation. Not rendering evil for evil. Not with our speech full of guile. But to trust you and realize that you're in charge and you are in charge of us. So, Father, even as we're here this day, and we will go from this place, if you give us that opportunity, we'll walk out these doors, we'll get on St. Joe Center there, we'll go to the east or to the west, but we're the people of God. We're the royal ambassadors for Christ. It's not hard for us to see some of the violence and some of the vile speech. What's hard for us is to be loving, patient, kind, speaking the truth in love, and depending upon the Holy Spirit to bring back that result of enlisting, saving, transforming, one by one. And we'll celebrate and we'll thank you for using us, even Lord, even us. So Father, this morning as we're here, let us take a second or two, think, and just be thankful and say, Lord, if you can use me this week, please do. And help me to be attuned to your Holy Spirit enough to recognize that divine appointment when it comes. For these things I ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For we ask these things in that name. Amen and amen. I think we have a hymn of invitation this morning. If you have...
I decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I none go with me, I still will follow. I don't with me, I still will follow. I don't with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.